Today for the Torah of Shaftah today, we're going to skip, not just skip a little bit, skip a lot. We're going to go to Be'ikve Atzon because it relates to the sugya that we were doing. The sugya that we were doing was we had mentioned the Shita of the Ran that applied the idea of Mitzas Hayom Kikulo when it came to the Isser of an Avel to wear tefillin. That an Avel is not allowed to wear tefillin, Meikra Din, Machlokas, and the Gemara might cut in 2 days or 3 days. We pask in 2 days. But why is it that an Avel normally does put on tefillin on day two? Mixas Yom Kikulo. He doesn't put on tefillin for the first 5 minutes of the day, or even maybe Mixas Halayla, the fact that at night he doesn't put on tefillin, that's enough, and therefore Mixas Yom Kikulo, he's already fulfilled the obligation of not wearing tefillin for 2 days, and he can then put on tefillin, right? That was the application we had in our sugya of Mixas Yom Kikulo. So I wanted to share with you Rav Shechter's Torah about Mixas Yom Kikulo. This is in his second sefer, Be'ikve Atzon, Simin Yud Zayin, and he starts off with a basic question that's asked in the Otzar Gaonim, that all mitzvos that are noeg ba'avel are noeg b'tishvav, meaning avelus is not only a din when someone, rachmana litzlan, loses a relative. We all experienced avelus in the past, hopefully we won't again in the future, but have in the past on tishvav when we are misabel on Yerushalayim and on the Beis HaMikdash. And we paskin that when it comes to avelus on a relative, whether it's avelus shiva or whether it's avelus of shloshim, mitzvos yom kikulo. When does someone get up from shiva? You never see someone getting up from shiva after mincha right before Maariv. That's not when they get up. When do they get up from shiva? Right after shachris. They sit for a few minutes, that's it, they get up. Why? Mitzvos yom kikulo. That applies to shiva, it applies to shloshim. So ask the Gaonim, why not say the same thing by Tisha B'Av? That Tisha B'Av, we should say, Mitzion Kukulo. So start the morning in Tisha B'Av, sit on the floor for a minute or two, and then say, okay, that was fun. Now we move on with our day and enjoy a good breakfast. Why don't we do that? Rav Shechter points out parenthetically, and when I say parenthetically because he actually puts it in parentheses, well, brackets at least, but he points out that the Gilyon Yashas of Yosef Engel quotes from the Rambam Yipanim a similar question. Why don't we say Mitzion Kukulo on Shabbos and Yantiv? Why not just say that, you know, Shabbos morning, we'll go to shul, we'll do our religious thing, and then come home and turn on the lights and, you know, text our friends and do whatever else, you know, and plow and winnow and whatever other things we like to do. And say, I've already been Yotze Shabbos with Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo. So the Rav Yosef Engel quotes from the Rambam Yipanim that we don't say Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo on Shabbos and Yantiv because he suggests that we only say Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo when it comes to Inyanim of Tumah and Avelus, on negative things, on sad things. Because Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo says, we take the whole and we shrink it. Well, we wouldn't want to shrink something happy and good, like Shabbos and Yantiv. We'd want to shrink something sad, like Avelus. So we would only apply it to something sad. The problem with that is, says Rav Yosef Engel, is that we do apply Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo to Nezirus, and Nezirus is an Inyan of Kedusha. It is not an Inyan of sadness or anything negative. It's an Inyan of an elevated level of Kedusha. And yet we still say Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo. That itself is really not so pashut. Meaning what Nezirus is actually two Lashonos in the Gemara in Tainus and in the Gemara in Nazir. The Gemara talks about, do we view the Nazir as someone who, by accepting upon himself the Nezirus, is adding Kedusha to his life? Or do we view it as someone who's doing something negative by depriving himself of the great gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to bestow on him? Hashem is trying to give you all these hana'os, and you're saying, oh, not enough, the things that are forbidden, I'm going to make more prohibitions on myself. That might have a certain negative element to it, so that itself is really two deos in the Gemara. But leaving that aside, going back to the core issue of Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo, Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik that we don't say Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo on Shabbos, on Yontif, on Tisha B'Av, because the idea of Mitzvos Hayom Kikulo is only when you have what's called a melos. A melos. What is a melos? What does that mean? So he says, for example, when you have avelus, you have 7 days where a zava is tameh. So those are not days that are calendar days. It's not like, you know, you're looking ahead to the year 2018. You say, oh, avelus is going to be between these days and these days. No, that's something that happens to a person, and when it happens, it happens. There is no specific calendar day. Or a woman who's going to become a zava gadola, a woman is going to have to count 7 clean days. She doesn't look look at the calendar and say, oh, from March 22nd to March 28th, those are going to be my Zava Gadola Shivanikiyam days. No, it's not calendar days. We don't do it based on calendar. It's based on when does she bleed, when does she stop bleeding, and therefore when are her Shivanikiyam going to be. When the days that we're observing are based on what happens and not based on the calendar, that's where we say Mitzion Kakulo. But if it's based on a calendar day, the calendar doesn't flip till the end of the day. So if Tishbav is a day that is a sad day, you can't end it prematurely because the day isn't over. It's still Tishbav. When there's my own nihug on a day, my own observance that just happens to fall on certain days, but it has nothing to do with that day itself. It has to do with my behavior for a certain amount of time. So good, 6.5 days is the same as observing it for 7 days. But when it relates to the calendar, I can't prematurely end a calendar day. And Tisha B'Av is about the calendar. Even though it's Avelus, it's not exactly the same as a personal Avelus. It's about the calendar, and we know this from multiple sources. Gemara in Tainis Daf Chavtes, Megalgalin Chova Liyom Chayiv. Bad things happen on days that are predestined to have bad things, like Tishbav, and that's why we had both Chorbanos on Tishbav. And that's why when it all started with the Meraglim and we were screaming and crying about our Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Gemara tells us that Rosh Yom was Lel Tishbav. And the Gemara tells us, Atem Bechisam Bechia Shalchinam V'ani Kovei Alechem Bechia L'doros. Hashem says, you're crying for no reason on Tishbav. I'm going to give you a reason to cry on this day. It's going to be a day of Bechia L'doros. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us that if a person has a din, bahadinachri, you have a court case with a non-Jew, you should avoid doing it in Av. Why? Reya mazale, meaning the character of the time, the character of the day is such that it is a time of Avelus. That cannot be ended prematurely. We do not say Mitzion Kukulo on such things. And that's why Shivasu B'Tamuz, Asar B'Teves, all these fast days, we don't say Mitzion Kukulo. Why? Because they're all calendar days. And you never say Mitzion Kukulo on a calendar day. The question becomes, though, what happens when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos? So when do we observe Tisha B'Av if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos? Sunday, right? So is Sunday a calendar day that we observe Avelos? It's not really, because it's Yud Ba'av, and Tisha B'Av is the calendar day that we observe. So shouldn't we say Mitzion Kukulo when Tisha B'Av gets pushed off to Sunday? Why not say Mitzion Kukulo in such an instance? So Rav Shechter suggested that, you know, the fact that we're fasting on Yud Ba'av is a tashlumin for not fasting on Tisha B'Av. So you have to observe all the same halachos you would on Tisha B'Av on Yud Ba'av. However, he says that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik that it explained a little differently. He said when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, the reason you don't observe Avelus on Mitzion Kulo on Shabbos and Yom Tov is because Shabbos and Yom Tov are not a malos because they are set days on the calendar. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, he said a different explanation. He said the reason you don't observe Mitzion Kulo on Tisha B'Av is because it's only one day. Meaning there are two exceptions to Mitzion Kulo. One exception is anything that's not a set calendar day. Anything that is a set calendar day is mufka from Mitzion Kulo. It does not have the special heter called Mitzion Kulo. So you can't do it on Yantif, you can't do it on Shabbos, there's no Mitzion Kulo on such days. Then there's a second exception. If something is only a single day, there's no Mitzion Kulo. If something is only one day, you can't say, oh, okay, so I did 5 minutes of this day, and therefore Mitzion Kulo. We never do that when something's only a single day. And he says, based on that, what you would need to explain is the halacha of Zava Katana. What's the halacha of Zava Katana? So a woman sees some dam, and it's during the Yura of Yom Shebe Nida L'Nida. There are 11 days that a woman, when she sees blood, when blood comes from her uterus, does not become a Nida. She becomes what's called a Zava instead. And if she only sees dam for one day, she's a Zava Katana. What is a Zava? She'll only become a Zava Gedola if she sees for 3 consecutive days. Zava Katana if she sees for 1 day. Now what does she have to do if she's a Zava Katana? She's Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She has to make sure that the next day she doesn't see Dan. And if she doesn't, she goes to Mikvah, she's fine. So it's a 1 day thing. And yet, we still apply Mitzvah Yom Kukulo on Zava Ketan. So according to Rav Soloveitchik's idea that we never say Mitzvah Yom Kukulo on a one-day thing, why would we apply it to Zava Ketana? So Rav Soloveitchik said, yeah, it must be because Zava Ketana, by its very name, you see that it's very much connected to the concept of Zava Gedola. Zava Gedola is a seven-day thing. So therefore, once we apply Mitzvah Yom Kukulo to the notion of Zava, we apply it over to Zava Ketana as well. Not so easy to understand, you know, that idea. Now, the basic chakira about Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, and this is what I really wanted to get to, is the following. Tosfos Maseches Nida Daf Ayin Aleph points out that Rashi seems to understand a link between two different machlokos that we have in the Gemara. There's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. If a Zava Gedola goes to the mikveh on the seventh day of her Shiva Nikiyim, in the daytime, you know, nowadays when a woman becomes a Nida, we always assume she's a Zava Gedola. She requires seven clean days, and we don't let her go to the mikveh till after the seven clean days are over, till night time. That's why, if you ever want to go to the mikveh stam, you just for extra kedusha or preachers or whatever, don't go at night. You're not supposed to. Men are not supposed to be hanging around the mikveh at night because that's creepy, right? Why are men not supposed to? That's when the women are supposed to be around. Even if you know it's separate. Obviously, the men's mikveh is different than the women's mikveh, but you don't want to. You know, if it's in the same building, you should not be there at nighttime. Obviously, that's when women go. Women go at night, right? But me'ikr hadin. We don't do this, but me'ikr hadin. If a Zava Gedola wanted to go on the seventh of her seven clean days, she can go to the mikveh during the daytime, does not have to go at night, and she would be tahora. But what if she goes on the seventh of her clean days, let's say this time of day, 11:45 in the morning, and then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon she bleeds again? Will it make her tamei l'mafreya? Will it turn out that she was never tahora because she didn't make it through all seven clean days? Or do we say, no, she was tahora, she went to the mikveh, and now it's a new tumah that's hit at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when she bleeds again? That is a machlokas in the Gemara. There's also a machlokas whether a zava is allowed to be tovel on the seventh night. I mean, everyone agrees she's allowed to be tovelis on the seventh day, just a machlokas whether what would happen if she bleeds again later. There's also a machlokas, can she be tovelis the night before the seventh day? I mean, so that too is a machlokas. And Rashi seems to assume that those two machlokas are connected to each other. What in the world is the connection between those two machlokas? So Salvation explained as follows, so beautifully. He pointed out, how does Mitzvah Yom Kukulo work? You know, there are two ways you can envision that Mitzvah Yom Kukulo works. One is that if, let's say, the seventh day of Shiva, right, someone sits Shiva for a few minutes and then they get up. So you could argue that those first few minutes, that is the seventh day. Once they get up, now it's the eighth day already. It's like a separate day. You've taken one day in time and you've managed to create 2 days out of it. You've split it, you've cut it, you've made 2 days. One day was the actual seventh day, and the other day is, and the other half of the day is the eighth day. That's one way to understand Mitzvah Yom Kukulo. The other way to understand Mitzvah Yom Kukulo is not that you're able to take a day and cut it into two. No, the entire day is 7 days. But the halacha is mechadesh that you only have to observe the halachos of the seventh day for part of it. Meaning, although the entire day is going to be the seventh day, you only have to keep the halachos of the seventh day for part of that day. Now, based on that, we understand the machlokas that the Gemara has in Moed Katan. The Gemara says, how do you cheshbon shloshim? How many days is shloshim? Someone dies, right? So the relatives observe shloshim. How many days is that? So simple answer, how many days is shloshim? 30, right? But if day 7 has Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, and Mitzvah Yom Kukulo means that day 7 serves as both day 7 and day 8, then the real day 8 becomes day 9. And keep going, the real day 29 becomes day 30. And shloshim would only actually be 29 days. if that's how you view Mitzvah Kukulo. Meaning, does that seventh day of Shiva count as both the last day of Shiva and a day of Shloshim? Or do we say, no, it's the last day of Shiva, you only have to do Nihugim of Shiva during the part of that day. But the whole day is an actual day of Shiva. That's the Chakira over here. Does Mitzvah Kukulo take the day and cut it into two? Or does Mitzvah Kukulo tell you only have to observe the Nihugim for part of that day? Now, based on that, we can go back to Zava and we can understand very well. What is the Nihug of a Zava Gedola? This is a mitzvah in the Torah. These are psukim in the Torah. Sometimes you start saying words like Zava Katana, Zava Gedola, and people are like, oh no, that's scary, that sounds like Taras, I don't know what that's talking about. These are psukim in the Torah. This is like, you know, elementary school kids, you're supposed to know this, right? So what is a Nihug of a Zava Gedola? What does a Zava Gedola have to do? Torah says, the Safra La Shivas Yavim. She has to count 7 days. How does she count? Very similar to where else we have a mitzvah of counting? Sfiras Omer, right? Very similar. Now, Sfiras Omer, how do you do Sfiras Omer? What's the Nihug? How do you observe Sfiras Omer? You count. You actually say, Hayom, Yom, Mishalom. Does a Zavah do that? A woman, before she, I realize you're not married, so you don't have experience in this, but would a Zavah, would you envision that, you know, you'd have like a chart where she, you know, says a bracha and then like does a Yom Yom? So we don't do that. What is the Nihug? What does she do then? So what she does is she does a bedika each day. She takes a cloth and checks to make sure that she didn't bleed that day. And that's her nihug. Now the halach is that nihug has to be done during the daytime. It cannot be done during the nighttime. Now we understand it very well. There's a machlokas whether miktsas hayom kukulo on the last day of the Shiva Nikiyim, right? The machlokas was whether Mixiyam Kukula will end the day, and therefore, when she bleeds later on that day, it's going to be a brand new tumah, it's not going to retroactively cut anything, or whether Mixiyam Kukula is not going to end that day, it's just going to say, you only have to observe the Nihug in the morning, but that whole day is still the seventh day. Ah, so now I understand. If a woman bleeds, a woman did a bedika at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then she bleeds at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and she goes to the mikveh at 11:30, and then she bleeds at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If Miktsas Yom Kukulo means we cut the day in half, half of the day is the day 7, and the other half of the day is the next day, so then I understand very well that bleeding is not going to be Mitami Hurlam Afreya. It's brand new, it's the next day. But if Miktsas Yom Kukulo just means that the whole day is the seventh day, you just have to observe the nihug of Shiva Nikiyim in the morning, then if she bleeds later in that day, it is going to be Soser, it is going to be Metameher Lemafreya. So if that's the case, you'd understand very well why it is that there would be a machlokas whether she could be Tovelis Belayla. Because the Nihug of Sfira Shiva Nikiyim cannot be done at night. You can't do the bedik at night. It can only be done during the day. So if the din of Mitzvah Kukulo is that you need the nihug, so then you can't do it at night. And therefore you can't apply Mitzvah Kukulo at night. But if the din of Mitzvah Kukulo is just that we cut the day in half, well, who says that, you know, as long as the calendar day shifts at night, so we can cut the night. We can cut the night from the day. We can even have, and that's the connection. That's the connection Rashi's trying to make between these two machlokas. The machlokas, whether when she bleeds on day 7 after going to the mikveh, is it mitami or mafreya? And the machlokas, whether the night time is also a time that's kosher for tefillah. It's all the same issue. How do we do Mitzvah Kukulo? Does Mitzvah Kukulo cut the day? Or does Mitzvah Kukulo tell you that the nihug only has to be observed for part of the day? You know, there is a kuntros, Matzevus Moshe, at the end of the Sefer Chachmas Adam, where he quotes from Tshuvas HaRadvaz that Meikra Adin, Mixiyom Kukulo should apply to Avelus Laila as well. Meaning, Meikra, we don't do this. When someone sits Shiva, when do they get up? Always. When do they get up? Daytime, morning. They don't say after Marav the night before, right, on the last day of Shiva, they don't say after Marav that they'll sit for a few minutes then get up. But says Matzevus Moshe, in the name of the Radvaz, they can make Radin, that would be permissible. Now, how does that work? Why? Why would Miktsas HaLaila Kikalayom work by Avelus? So you understand very well now, if you hold that Mixas Yom Kukula works as we cut the day. So as long as the calendar day started, you can cut it. So why shouldn't that work at Laila? That should work at Laila as well. And even if you hold Mixas Yom Kukula means that you only have to observe the Nihugim of that day for the first section of the day, well, what is the Nihug of Avelus? What are Nihugim of Avelus of Shiva? No leather shoes, sitting on the floor. Do you do those at night? Yeah. It's not like Sfira Shiva Nikim. Those happen at night also. So you would say Mitzvah Kukulo either way. You could say Mitzvah Kukulo at night. According to, you understand the Matzavis Moshe very well. Now, there is a stira in Shulchan Aruch about what's called the Shmur Rechoka. Shmur Rechoka in today's day and age is nearly impossible to have because our communication is instantaneous. But it used to be that it was a real thing. If someone would go traveling off to yeshiva or something, and go on a boat for 3 months, and he'd end up in Europe, and he's got family in America, and his father dies or something. So when's he going to find out? The next guy that gets on a boat and goes to Europe and gets there 3 months later will deliver him the news that his father... Shmur Rechoka means that a person finds out about the Petira way, way later. Now, if that's the case... The halacha is there's only one day of Avelus. That one day of Avelus is not even a full day of Avelus. It's an Avelus for Miktsas Hayom. Even just part of the day is good enough. Now, if you hold that, Miktsas Hayom Kekulo only works when you have a series of days and not on one day. So why would Shmur Rechoka apply to one day of Avelus? So Rav Salvechik explains maybe the din of Shmur Rechoka is not a din that there's a one day of Avelus and you can just be Yotze that Avelus with part of the day. No, maybe the din of Shmur Rechoka is actually that there's only supposed to be a few minutes of Avelus. Maybe that's the very nature of the din. He pointed out that seems to be against the Gemara because the Gemara says Shmami Natlas, the Gemara comes to three different conclusions. One of them is that Shmur Rechoka is only Nahagaz Yom Echad. And the second one, that we apply Mixiyom Kukulo. So it sounds like, not that Shmur Rechoka is knowing for a few minutes, but that Shmur Rechoka is a day, and you could just be Yotze in a few minutes. The Mechaber in Yerideya also writes that we don't say Mixiyom Kukulo on Yud Beis Chodesh. What's Yud Beis Chodesh? Not all Avelus has Yud Beis Chodesh. Which Avelus has Yud Beis Chodesh? Only parents. Only father and mother. Why only father and mother? What? Okay, that's one possibility, close to Naras Sinai. Pashtus is it's kibrave. Since you have a chiyuv kibud, so you basically just a din in the chiyuv kibud. Right? That's what Moshe writes in a tshuva. So even though it may be even more distressing for a person to lose a child than to lose a parent, there's no yud beis chodesh for a child, but there is yud beis chodesh for a parent. But the Shulchan Aruch says we don't say mitzvah kukulo in yud beis chodesh. The last day of yud beis chodesh, you don't get to stop your avelus. A few hours into the day. Got to go through the whole day. Why not? Why not? So, two possibilities. One possibility, the Taz and the Shach, right? Mixtas Hayom Kekulo only applies when the halachos that we're talking about are halachos of days. You're supposed to observe 7 days of Shiva. You're supposed to observe 30 days of Shloshim. There's no din that you observe a month of Shloshim. The din is 30 days of Shloshim. Right? It's not. It wouldn't depend on whether it's a 29-day month, 30-day month. No, 30 days of Shloshim. When you're talking about Sfira Shiva Nikiyim is 7 clean days that the Zav Gadol requires. When we talk about days, you can say Mitzvah Yom Kippurim. But when the Chiv is your days Chodesh, then you don't say Mitzvah Yom Kippurim. That's one possibility. The other possibility Rav Shechter points out is that by Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh, there is no Nihu. If Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, what we were saying before, if Mitzvah Yom Kukulo means that the Nihugim only have to be observed for part of that day, there has to be a Nihug. Just like the night of Shiva Nikiyam when a woman is Tameh. Can't count toward Mitzvah Yom Kukulo if you need a Nihug because there's nothing that she's doing at night. There's no Bediga at night. There's no Nihug. There's no nihug of Yud Beis Chodesh. What do I mean there's no nihug of Yud Beis Chodesh? Don't you have certain limitations in Yud Beis Chodesh? If you pay careful attention to the halachos, it's an amazing ha'ara in terms of how Avelus works. By Shiva, the halacha is a person is supposed to be menavel himself a lot. No bathing, no leather shoes, an active nevel of oneself. Shloshim, also a nevel, not as much, but a nevel b'miktsas. So, no haircuts, right? There are still certain things. Maker, I didn't really know bathing in hot water either during Shloshim, but we don't observe that anymore. But there are certain clear, active nivel that one has to be knowing on himself. Yud Beis Chodesh does not require any level of nivel. Yud Beis Chodesh is to refrain from ta'anugim v'idunim, to refrain from things that are luxurious, not to luxuriate in those 12 months. That does not involve any nihug. If there's no nihug, mimela there can't be a mitzvah yom kukulo. Again, that's if you understand mitzvah yom kukulo to mean that you observe the nihug for part of that time. And he says that's why, so Shabbat just points out, l'chor the mechaber doesn't agree with that. Because the mechaber holds that we apply mitzvah yom kukulo during sfira. Which level of avelus do we observe during sfira? Shiva, Shloshim, or Yud Beis Chodesh? Yud Beis Chodesh, right? Sfira observes Yud Beis Chodesh. If you hold that Yud Beis Chodesh has no nihug, and therefore we can never say Mixiyam Kukulo, then you shouldn't be able to say Mixiyam Kukulo during Sfira. Yet, the Mechaber does say Mixiyam Kukulo during Sfira. And then he gets into some nice ideas, just Derech Agav. Because he points out that the Taz in Yerodea quotes from the Bach that if the last day of Shiva is on Shabbos, there's no Mitzvah Kukulo. And therefore the Avil is not allowed to get an Aliyah even at Mincha. An Avil doesn't get an Aliyah during Shiva. If the last day of Shiva is Shabbos, no Mitzvah Kukulo, so even at Mincha he doesn't get an Aliyah. Why? So you understand very well. Because if there's no Nihug, there's nothing that he's doing on Shabbos, because on Shabbos there's no public Avelus. So you understand that you're not going to say Mitzvah Sayom Kikulo on Shabbos. But Agav, that he mentioned that the Avil doesn't get an Aliyah, he said, you know, why is it that an Avil doesn't get an Aliyah? Just stand. Why is this just a powerful Musar about what an Aliyah means and about this particular halacha of Avelus? You know, an Avil is, why would you think an Avil can't get an Aliyah Latoria during Shiva? Which Isser is that of Avelus?
He's worried. A lot of it on his mind. He can't concentrate.
So it doesn't seem that that's about kavana, because he has to daven. He definitely has to daven.
Is it a
kavana?
What? Luxury.
Luxury?
It's
close.
I mean, like, it's a human, I don't know.
What's an avil not allowed to do? And specifically, what kind of simcha? Talmud Torah. An avil's not allowed to learn Torah. If an avil's not allowed to learn Torah, that's probably where the issue of getting aliyah comes from. It's Talmud Torah. He's learning Torah. But the question begs itself, is Navel allowed to say Karbanos in the morning? So Pashtus says yes. Why? Nah, he's not really learning Torah, he's just davening up the Pesukim. You know, anything that's part of the Seder Ayom. You know, there are some people that when they put on Tefillin, on Tisha B'Av at Mincha, they say the Dalet Parshios of the Tefillin, for those who are knowing to actually say the Dalet Parshios of the Tefillin. Some people do it on Tisha B'Av also, even though they're reading Pesukim and Torah, you're not allowed to do that on Tisha B'Av. Why do they do that? It's Seder Ayom. It's just part of the tefillah. Now, when you think of laning, do you think, oh, this is a Talmud Torah opportunity? No, you think of it as part of the Seder Ayom. So why would it be that an Avil is not allowed to get an Aliyah? So Salvech got the beautiful insight. Salvech said that the Isra of an Avil in Talmud Torah is twofold. And Rav Schachter holds of this. I'll explain in a second how he got upset at me about something because of this. The Isra of Avelus is twofold. There's an Isra of Talmud Torah. There's an Isra of Novel to learn Torah, and then there's a separate Isra of Novel to be Milamed Torah La'achirim, to teach Torah to other people. That's an entirely different level of simcha when you teach Torah to other people. And there are differences between the two. The Isra of the Avil to learn Torah is not an all-out Isra. There are exceptions. What's an Avil allowed to learn? Avelus. He's allowed to learn Hilchos Avelus. On Tisha B'Av, what are you allowed to learn? Avelus, Yirmiyahu, Iyo. There's a whole bunch of stuff you're allowed to learn. The Churban Nagata does. There's a whole bunch of stuff you're allowed to learn. More, you know, on Why You Torah, I think they say the most popular day of the year and most clicks. Tisha B'Av, the day that you're not allowed to learn Torah. There are more people learning Torah than any other day. Because there's plenty to learn. There's plenty to learn on Tisha B'Av. But because the Yachid's Isra of Talmud Torah is an Isra to learn that which is not Dvarim Harayim. But Dvarim Harayim you're allowed to learn. But then there's a separate Isra of being Melamed Torah, Rav Soloveitchik thought, to hold the public shiur. And he thought that applies even to Dvarim Harayim. I don't know, Shachter, in my shul on Tisha B'Av at night, after Eicha, I sit and I learn the Churban Agavitos with the Chevra. So I'm giving a shiur, all, you know, for a few hours. We went through all the Churban Agavitos. You shouldn't do that. I know it's far my right, but that only helps that you're allowed to learn it. But and that each individual is allowed to learn it. But to hold the public shiur, to be Melamed Torah L'Acherim, probably you shouldn't do that. Which is very interesting, because that every community does some sort of public, you know. But that's sort of Soloveitchik's idea. And he says this explains very well the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer writes in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Aleph in his Tshuvas in the name of the Chassam Sofer. There's a halacha we don't learn Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Why don't we learn Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos? So the Chassam Sofer explains because whatever you're learning Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos is still going to be on your mind on Tisha B'Av, and then you're going to be in violation of learning that on Tisha B'Av, because Talmud Torah is in your brain. It doesn't have to be that you're verbally saying it, right? So you're learning your Geshmak and Sugya or Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. When Tisha B'Av comes, you can't just shut off your brain. It's still going to be there. You're still going to be thinking about it. Can you have a public shiur about Dvarim Harayim on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos? No, what do you think? A public shiur, Malami Torah L'Acher, about Dvarim Harayim on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. What would you think? Yes. Why? There is no Isser of Talmud Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av. The whole Isser is that we don't want you thinking about that learning once Tisha B'Av comes. But what kind of learning are you allowed to think about once Tisha B'Av comes? Dvarim Harayim. So you can have a public shiur because there's no Isser of Talmud Torah at all in Erev Tisha B'Av. The Dvarim Harayim, that you could think about later. So that's the Ksav Sofer's Ha'ara in the name of the Chassam Sofer, in the name of his father, the Chassam Sofer. Based on this idea that an Aliyah the Torah is being Malami Torah L'Acherim, Rav Soloveitchik explains, Rav Shechter explains, the minute that's mentioned in the Ramah, in Or HaChaim, that there's a chiyuv for a chassam during Shavu Brachos to get an aliyah l'Torah. Because it's like a regal for him, he gets an aliyah l'Torah. So what? On Yontif, everyone has a chiyuv to get an aliyah l'Torah? What does it mean? Why would a chassam have a chiyuv to get an aliyah l'Torah? So Soloveitchik explained that a chassam has a chiyuv of simcha. And the Rambam writes in the sixth parak of Hilchos Yontif, when a person eats and drinks and is sameach v'regel, it shouldn't be schok and kalas rosh. It should be because he says shichros schok, all that stuff. Ain't a simcha ela holulus v'sichlus. That's not simcha. That's silliness. That's foolishness. He says we have no mitzvah of holulus v'sichlus. The Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Chagiga that when a person brings a shalmei chagiga, a shalmei simcha, it should not be that he's eating with his wife and his kids and that's it, and that he's doing the full mitzvah. No, chayiv l'sameach es ha'aniyim v'ayim lalim. Part of the mitzvah of simcha is to make sure others who are less fortunate are b'simcha. What you see from the Rambam is that a critical part of the mitzvah of simcha is to be m'sameach achirim, is to be m'sameach other people. If a chassan has a chiyuv of simcha, so yeah, learning Torah is a great simcha. But the only way to truly experience simcha is to do what? Be mesameach acherim. So you know what's even better than learning Torah? Teaching Torah publicly to other people. And how do we do that? Aliyah l'Torah. We got an aliyah l'Torah, we lay in the shul. It used to be that the Ola would lay in the parsha. Right, so you blame that in his aliyah, so he's being malami Torah l'achirim. That is a great kiyum of simcha, to be malamed to other people. He then gets into a whole discussion, well, we don't do that anymore, so is that still a fulfillment of simcha? But probably this is where the minhag comes from, that a chassan darshins, that a chassan, it used to be, it's less popular now, that a chassan at a chassan's tish would say some sort of drasha. And the minute it became that they said his friends would sing him down and wouldn't let him get two words out. Not to be mevayish the chassan who doesn't know how to say two words of Torah. But that's probably where the minute comes from. That's an expression of his simcha. So during, God willing, one day when you all get married, Really great idea. It's not that the Chazon Tzitzis, because it's sometimes a little crazy there. During Shabbat Brachos, say some words of Torah at each Shabbat Brachos, a couple of words of Torah. You, the Chazon, can get away with whatever you want. You know, it's not going to people. Another speaker. It's the Chazon. It's okay. So a few words of Torah to be mitzamech, to be mitzamech acherim. That's the greatest level of simcha. Okay, that's an extended version of Torah's Rosh Hashanah for this week. Yeah.